Welcome to Ambleside Flourish, brought to you by Ambleside Schools International. This is our special series, Ambleside Moments, with Mary Ellen St. Cyr, founder of Ambleside School of Fredericksburg, Ambleside Homeschool, Ambleside Schools International, and contributing author of When Children Love to Learn.
Opportunities at home. Last time we heard from Essex Chumley about opportunities. The opportunities parents have at home to bring children up to be or to do. To be the kind of persons who have the power to live the life God has given them in exactly the way God intends, complete in mind, heart, and soul, with the needs of something to love, something to do, and something to think about. It's a lofty work indeed to bring children up in these varied relationships. In truth, each parent and each teacher are a part of this work already, consciously or unconsciously. Chumley tells us the ideal home is where all these needs can be supplied. What if the something to love, something to do, and the something to think about comes from invaders rather than from the cultural norms of the family? Persons are influenced by those with whom they identify, their tribe, the relationships all around them. Culture was born from the influence of the family. Other institutions, such as churches and schools, replicated these norms as consistent communities, breathing in the same ethos, assessing the same tools for living. As technology becomes more pervasive, all this begins to change. Culture becomes characterized by its technology rather than the family, and more so when it becomes what Neil Postman says, a state of mind, a deifying of this technology, meaning the culture takes its authorization, satisfaction, and orders from technology. This requires a new kind of social order, and of necessity leads to the dissolution of much that is associated with traditional beliefs. All the statistics concerning young children and teens say the same things over and over again concerning the excessive use of devices, such as they're checking their phones constantly, they're sleeping with them, they're spending time on social media talking about nothing in particular. And furthermore, teens state over and over again, parents would cringe if they saw what we saw on social media. Is it safe to agree with what Postman said 27 years ago? Quote, with the rise of technopoly, one of those thought worlds, technological or traditional, disappears. A technopoly eliminates alternatives to itself in precisely the way Huxley outlined in Brave New World. It does not make them illegal. It does not make them immoral. It does not even make them unpopular. It makes them invisible and therefore irrelevant. And it does so by redefining what we mean by religion, by art, by family, by politics, by history, by truth, by privacy, by intelligence, so that our definitions fit its new requirements. Technopoly, in other words, is totalitarian technocracy. If it is true we are now living in a technopoly, these 90 days of summer can look pretty grim as we consider the children. How will your children's affections and desires be cultivated with regards to something to love, something to do, something to think about? Consider using summertime as a time to bring balance into all of our lives. In order to do so, there are restraints for both the children and the adults. Consider establishing limits on technology as a family, or it will always be vying for someone's attention. Here are some ways parents have decided to create space for family. Keep all phones in a place not connected to you, somewhere so it does not seem like an added appendage. Eliminate phones from mealtime at home or otherwise. Schedule times of entertainment, television, films, concerts. Think very seriously about the consequences of giving children and teenagers free rein with their devices. How will they learn self-discipline if they never even had to practice it regarding technology? I have friends with three teenagers in high school and college, and they only allow the computers in the family room at all times. No technology is ever used in an out-of-sight place, such as a bedroom or a basement. Their phones are dumb, used for making calls and sending texts. Communicate your expectations when your children visit friends or relatives overnight or otherwise. The assumption is they want to be together in relationship, not on technology. Talk about it before you make the commitment. And if they are viewing a film together, know the details. Don't be caught off guard. Something to love. We are characterized by our love for God and one another. How might the summer be used to develop these loves? Extend multi-generational hospitality to neighbors and friends. As a young teacher, all of the families were encouraged to invite their children's teachers to their homes for a meal during the first 2 months of the school year. Over an 8-year period, my heart was formed from what I observed as these families engaged together and with me, a priceless education for maturity. Seek opportunities in the community to serve as a family. Tell stories of your growing up years to your children. Read the scriptures or formal prayers together at least once a week. Use everyday life to bring up your children to act in loving ways toward each member of the family. And when they don't get it just right, ask them to try again. For example, try again asking your sister to play the game as it should be played and tell her why. See all people as persons. Learn their stories as you engage together. Ask good questions to get them to talk. Something to do. Chumley exhorts the reader to give children opportunities to help as well as a chance to play. I remember being 8 years old and my grandparents owned a home they rented to others across the street from the home in which they lived. My grandparents invited us over to help paint. I was given the wooden trim around the windows. Grandpa, Zhuzha as we called him, gave me clear directions on how to use the brush, how to dip the brush into the paint, and how to apply the paint. He inspected my early work and I was good to go. I felt so grown up being part of the work. Teach your children how to cook a meal, not just the dessert. Instruct your children how to be tidy with their things, a place for everything and everything in its place, and hold them responsible daily. Give them chores and instruct them how to work in the garden and around the house, clean the garage and the cars together. Practice sport, music, or needed academic work, math facts, reading aloud, several times during the course of a week. Memorize poetry, a psalm, a history passage, or a Bible passage as a family. Something to think about. It is about enjoying with the mind. In my formative years, my parents gave me the gift of linking knowledge with real books. I saw my parents read to know. It's interesting to note, in thinking of my experience, no one told us the kinds of books to read. I breathed it in. They created an atmosphere of talking about what they read, and I followed in their stead. During the summer, I rode my bicycle weekly to the library, filling my basket with biographies and classics. Read varied books. I've known families who have used the summertime to come together and read nightly, and others who read as individuals in the same genre. For example, one family read varied biographies of persons of faith. They came together at different times to share the inspiring stories each had read. Identify and imitate the very songs of the birds in your yard. Enjoy outdoor life as a family, biking, hiking, camping, and so much more. Turn up the music on a Friday night and dance around the kitchen. Cultivate a beauty sense for picture, music, and nature. Visit an art gallery, attend an outdoor concert, learn about some living things around you. Charlotte Mason encourages us to think wisely concerning the affections and the aspirations of our children. A man or a woman are all more or less the outcome of the discipline their parents have brought them under, or of the lawlessness they have allowed. The summertime affords each of us with opportunities for something to love, something to do, and something to think about.
Ambleside Schools International fosters an educational renewal based upon the pedagogical insights of British educator Charlotte Mason. Serving an international community of parents, teachers, and schools, Ambleside makes a living education accessible to all. For additional information regarding Ambleside Schools International and training opportunities for principals, teachers, and parents, please visit our website at ambleside schools.com.